and welcome to Through the Turnstiles podcast as we take an in-depth look at the lower leagues of Scottish football. Joined this week by Muzz, how are you?
Not bad, thanks. Just trying to juggle all the tabs I've got off on my screen at the moment.
sources of all knowledge, to be fair. So this week, we're back to just the two of us. But last week, our combo produced the highest viewing figures we've seen for a while. So stats don't lie, Muzz. We'll go with a successful formula.
Yeah, now we know that the common denominator was with all the peer reviews before. We've corrected that again today.
Absolutely.
Only joking, James, of course.
As always, yeah. So thank you very much for those of you that did tune in last week. Good numbers for us, actually, on YouTube and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and things like that. So thanks again for joining this week. If you can, if you could just like the video, subscribe to the channel, that would help us massively. Format this week with the international break coming this weekend, what we're doing is just one video, just looking back at the results from the weekend just gone in all three of the leagues. We'll timestamp it in the comment of when each league starts. So if you just want to look at League One or League Two, whatever, you can skip to that. But trust me, it'll be worth staying for the duration. And next week, what we'll do is we'll look at the games coming up that weekend, and then the week after we'll be back to the usual format due to the international break. Muzz, we'll start with the Championship and work our way down. Well, first of all, international break, confident?
Relatively. The games against Israel have been stodgy, to say the least, the last few occasions. So we're well used to them. I think it's going to be more of the same kind of fare. It's going to be edgy. But just pretty confident of the performances, the last couple of performances, not just the results, but the performances that came with it. And relatively strong squad, bar one or two. So
you wouldn't pretty... think you'd be saying it 12 months ago, but Hanley will be a loss with suspension.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Especially in this kind of game where it's going to be a bit of a slugfest. So, I don't know who's going to come in. Forest have taken a bit of a turn in form recently.
McTominay didn't play the last game, did he? So you wonder if he comes in and maybe puts Hendry middle of the back three or something. But like you say, like Scott McKenna, doesn't he? So
Hendry's probably one of the first names in the team sheet all of a sudden.
Flying
as well with his Champions League exploits. So it's strange. It's up and down, isn't it? It's a mad world in international football.
I know. Well, talking of up and down. Nice segue there, unplanned. Hamilton got their first one for a while. Probably the surprise result of the day, beating the league leaders 2-1 at home, and Inverness's goal not even coming until kind of the 92nd minute.
Yeah, major coupon buster territory this, because Inverness were quite tasty odds away from home, and that victory came out of nowhere. Racing at a 2-0 lead as well. Just happened to sort of click for Hamilton. They were sitting on 5 points, and you were basically giving Inverness a bye this game, and like Hamilton, when you're talking about them getting back on form, you were probably looking ahead to the next game against Partick Thistle at home. Mm-hmm. But Inverness kind of like looked like they edged it on possession and had a good few more chances at goal. So it's maybe they've just been a bit sleeping early doors a wee bit with that, conceding those two first half goals, certainly the first one after 5 minutes, and didn't even have enough to, you know, they played two thirds of the game with an extra man as well, and it only took, you know, it was only very last minute consolation they really wrapped up. So it looks like Hamilton closed the door quite well. Very promising performance from Hamilton to protect that 2-0 lead as well.
65% possession. Inverness had 14 shots. We know obviously all about their clean sheet record to start the season. Do you think then it's the final third that probably their weakness just now, Inverness?
Arguably.
Because they're edging games, aren't they? They're doing enough to win, but they're not kind of putting teams away.
Aye, they're not being very clinical. Although, I mean, we did like Last week we did say that they managed to do enough, and I think it was their last game, was it against Queen of the South, where they went one up, Queen of the South scored, and I think myself or yourself or James were sort of remarking that Inverness are going, all right, we can go and score one more than you, but they're not actually scoring a lot. apart from like Duku is obviously their main source of goals, he hit the ground running with them. So maybe the fact he's, you know, if he's not scoring, it's like, where else in the team are they going to get goals from? Because when you look across their midfield, their midfield aren't really scoring, apart from Gardine's got a few. There's a single goal spread out across that midfield. Yeah, Shane Sutherland's got a couple. But yeah, there's, I think Kirk Broadfoot's the only defender that's scored so far this season. So, outside of Duku, if he's not firing, that's a potential issue. And we didn't expect to be talking about issues with Inverness so far, you know, this season.
It's interesting because, see, looking at the bench, Billy Mackay, proven goal scorer kind of this level and Premiership. Anthony McDonald from Hearts got a good reputation as well, kind of tricky winger, doesn't he? I know he went abroad and he's back. Tom Walsh, again, he's playing, but he didn't seem to be contributing too much. So he's got the tools there, Dodds. It might just a bad day at the office on Saturday, but I remember pre-season he said they needed to work on his back four. He's maybe overcompensated and now need to actually go back and work on his front three. But as a striker himself, I'm sure he'll not be able too long and get them firing again. And they've definitely got the players.
Yeah. Yes, maybe if you want to put a positive on it, it's maybe like they maybe needed a wee shock to keep them on their toes. So yeah, I'm sure it's nothing that you can't go and work on.
And Doran as well, obviously due back. I think he must miss a game injury. But like you say,
the stats won't alarm him either. You know, like you say, they had more possession. They had about three times as many attempts on goal. So like you say, I think a bump in the road, really, a blip.
If you are going to have a blip, it wasn't a bad weekend to do it, with obviously Kilmarnock getting beaten as the closest challengers and Arbroath, ridiculous as it sounds, other challengers, obviously only getting a draw. But looking at the Kilmarnock result first, I know that Wraith have kind of started slowly and things, but this seems to be them now kind of hitting the ground. Big turnover, wasn't it, at Wraith? But they look to be getting back to where they were at the back end of last season. That's them up in fourth.
You remarked last week how there has been a turnover of players, but they've replaced like for like kind of players to keep that system going that they play, and it looks like a good counter attacking performance because Kelly dominated the lion's share of possession at home as you would expect them to, but we know what Rafe can sort of do in the break, and no surprise to see a fullback scoring for them again. I don't remember Dick being prolific at Alloa, but the way Wraith play lends himself, overloading the fullbacks, and you know, I've seen Kieran McDonald assist. Who was it? Was that right back? Pardon?
Tumulty,
exactly. Yeah, I've seen them assist each other for Wraith Rovers because you know they're getting to the byline, whipping crosses in, and then the other fullbacks arriving at the back post. So. No surprise to see a fullback score again for them.
He changed up a wee bit, didn't he? Because he played Lang at right back in the four and kind of played Tumulty, didn't he? Kind of up one. And I don't know if you've seen the goal, but Tumulty got a good assist for Poplatnik really late in the game. I think it was Poplatnik's second. He's a threat, isn't he? Like you're saying, Tumulty.
Yeah, no surprise to see him played in an advanced position because he's such an attacking threat and such a good crosser. And along with that engine, and does give them, when they're against the ball, gives them that defensive, added defensive backup as well when they're sitting off the ball. So, sort of using the tools that he's got well. Lang, can deal with diagonal balls in the air as well. Dick's got a bit of height as well, I think. So, no problem for McGlynn to rotate some of those players and keep trying to play the same way.
Showing a bit of respect to Kelly as well, obviously, away from home. He's, you know, his attitude still being to score goals, McGlynn. I don't think it'll be anything but he's maybe just thought a wee bit about keeping the back door shut. Because if you look at it, in that top four, obviously Inverness have conceded four, Kelly have conceded four, Arbroath have only conceded six, Wraith 10. So as always with Wraith, they're always going to concede, aren't they? But he's maybe just done a wee nod to Kelly there and just kind of... Lang can still play, can't he? He can still go forward, but he's probably slightly more defensive and give him a bit more height at set pieces and stuff.
At Clyde, he liked to drawn forward with the ball, you know, busting out of centre half as well sometimes. So yeah, he can get up the pitch quite happily, and I think, you know, a Tommy Wright team are going to go direct, and it's maybe, like you say, he's maybe had a wee, you know, a wee bit of covering the back in mind and get some height at the full back areas as well, or heading ability, to keep the back door shut a bit more. So it's maybe adjusting to opposition rather than having to, like, it's not as if he's trying to, like, crowbar players in there, you know. It's probably a calculated decision from him.
Tumulty have been absolutely delighted with the freedom of bombing on without having to get back into the back four like he usually does. But like I say, really good assist for him for Poplatnik's second, well into injury time, actually. But just looking at Killie there, like the back four, you've got Naismith at right back, McGowan, Murray, Hanstroke, Blair Alston's a good height. So Ollie Shaw, I think set pieces has been the big one, isn't it? Because that Wraith midfield, the likes of Tate, Zanata, if Connolly had played, not much height in there, is there? So he's maybe just thought, you know, that back four now, and then Tumulty gives him a bit more height to deal with any set pieces and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Tommy Wright won't be overly concerned with a draw and a loss in his last two. He'll not be happy, but obviously they're still tucked in second place. Nothing major to worry about, really, is there?
Yeah, we were saying last week, like, the Killie fans just don't seem to be, I don't seem to be hearing too many murmurs of discontent. But maybe I'm just not looking in the right places. But there'll be a bit, you might hear some now, they'll be a bit alarmed, I think, at such a convincing defeat at home. But again, like Inverness, it's like maybe they needed that shock. Maybe they need to know they're in a competitive league here and get their act together.
As always with Tommy Wright, again, the slight issue might be goals. You know, they've scored 9 and 8, which, fair enough. But then if you look at it, Partick Thistle have got 17, Arbroath 16, Wraith 14, Cali 10. Even Queen of the South have got 9, the same as Kilmarnock. But with the players he's got, Polworth, Shaw, Robinson, Callum Hendry now, McKenzie, Burke, just a matter of time, surely?
Surely. Really packed out the front line there, despite letting Cameron go.
Surprised at that. Yeah. I thought Hendry Cameron is a much of a difference. Like, I know Hendry's played Aberdeen, but he didn't play that often, and he's a St Johnstone player. But and even to let Connell go, you know, is Hendry better, marked improvement on Cameron or Connell, do you think?
Don't know. Just maybe he's got something about him that he fancies, and he doesn't think Connell or Cameron are
quite
ready.
They'll know him from St Johnstone, won't he? But
yeah, but just maybe considers him a slightly higher pedigree, you know, player. But yeah, if he doesn't start scoring himself, it's going to look a wee bit dubious, that one, right enough. Yeah,
I thought it was an interesting one, actually. But like you say, Ennis Cameron, he's made his way to Queen of the South straight into the starting 11. Big win for them against Peter Grant. I don't know if you did you see them film a statement from the board the other day.
I saw them sort of surging towards Peter Grant. Yeah, at the end of the game, but I didn't see the statement.
The board put one out basically just blaming everything apart from Peter Grant.
COVID, I saw something about
bad
that,
decisions by referees. But Peter Grant's working tireless, and he said something like, we were letting a lot of goals in, so Peter went and worked on the defensive side, and now we've kept some clean sheets. But now he'll go and work on the attacking side so we can score some goals. It was a very kind of random statement that I think angered a lot of Dunfermline fans.
Yeah, that sounds a bit like, well, anybody could. I think I could step in a different job right now and say, like, well, we need to work on the defence, and then once we've said it, we're going to try and start scoring goals. So that's a bit unconvincing.
But good one for Queen of South.
To be fair, I called this last week. I'm not going to.
That's fair.
Hang about and bringing that up. I suspected that Queen of the South might nick this one, purely because Dunfermline just aren't showing any signs of scoring many goals or causing like too many problems, or you know that they have to turn around the corner form wise. Three draws in a row. It's not exactly
three draws exactly in a row. Like, they've got what have they got? 3 points from 15. 3 points from the last 15.
Yeah. There was no indication that Dunfermline were going to like go down to Queen of the South and comfortably like carry on their momentum and get the result. Queen of the South got a lot adding against Cameron. You know, I go back to their signing policies again, and they make such good signings. It's quality over quantity, and it's targeted areas that they need to improve on. I mean, don't get me wrong, they've already got Ali Roy, who was on form.
Payton, are they both injured? Neither of them played, did they, the weekend?
No, I think Ali Roy's been missing for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bit injury prone, that's his main problem. So maybe that's been a wee reason for Johnson thinking he needs a bit of backup up front. Harry Cochran, though, and Gibson just missed Benjamin Button on the right.
It's interesting because they've still got Fitzpatrick. Just looking at it there, sorry, Payton came off the bench, so did they, and Fitzpatrick. Roy was on the bench but didn't come on. So if you look at that kind of front area, like you say, they've got Suarez Jr., Cameron, Connolly, Fitzpatrick, Payton and Roy. So there's a decent amount of talent in that final four, don't there?
And Connolly's been a bit of a revelation there as well. I think they picked him up. I think he was released by Sunderland.
He's been at Alloa on loan, I think.
Yeah, he's been like a quiet, right, absolute gem there that as well. Really like dynamic, attacking midfielder, skillful, likes to come inside and likes to work his way into the box, into dangerous positions. And DT as well, kind of like a newly refurbished midfielder. Still young, still developing all the time. Got a lot of attributes to his game as well. So they're starting to put together like a pretty good outfit there.
Aye, decent, aren't they? Maybe a wee centre, another centre-half wouldn't go them a miss, but they're looking good, whereas Dunfermline. You look at the bench, the likes of Dom Thomas is on the bench, Rhys Cole, Todorov, Kyle McDonald. It's almost a tombola of a starting 11 every week, isn't it?
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's I don't know where to start really. They've got we know they've got the personnel. White and O'Hara, I've never been fully convinced by them. I just think when the going gets tough, it's like I don't think they're consistent enough to completely rely on. But Todorov does offer you something different. Dom Thomas is always a live wire, but he's hot and cold recently. So I just think there's a general cloud over the place right now. And
four of the top five in the next four games. So
right, yeah. So
I think they're away at Kelly, aren't they? I think they're away at Kelly next. We'll look at that next week. They then play. Got it in front of me here. They then play Partick away, Wraith at home, Arbroath away. So in October, so big month for Peter Grant and the board, especially after that statement you just made. Talking of Partick then, up and running, and I saw Ian McCall said he'd been playing two up front for a few weeks, Rudden and Graham. Didn't do it for the last couple of weeks and they struggled, stuck the two of them up front. They scored four, and Partick scored four. And his post-match, he said, right, I'll just stick the two of them up front now and just see what happens. So they said management was hard.
They don't even have to send a scout there next week because he's out at Hamilton. Don't need to bother because they've already know how he's going to line up. But what about Ayr as well? Like we were just talking about the bounce under Jim Duffy, and it always happens as soon as it's as soon as the ink's on the paper, it's like it just goes to absolute tat.
You should have just stayed caretaker till the end of the season. They won the league the way they were going. The only issue for Partick that I could see is they've obviously changed shape that 4-4-2. He loves Docherty and Bannigan, doesn't he, as a centre midfielder. He's played Tiffany wide, Smith wide, then Graham and Rudden. The only negative I could see is that meant Kyle Turner took a drop to the bench. So it's hard, isn't it, try to fit all the players into preferred shapes and things like that. I've seen him try to put Turner maybe off a side a couple of weeks ago, but Turner just needs to wait his chance now till Docherty or Bannigan pick up a knock or lose a bit of form drink.
Looks like it, you know, there doesn't seem to be any.
Unless you
step
back three and plays like kind of 3-5-2, but then you lose Tiffany and Smith, don't you? So it's a good problem to have, but you want somebody to turn it in the park.
Unless you play Tiffany and Smith as attacking wing backs, but then you're losing some of that attacking.
Where does Ricky Foster play?
I mean, he's getting to that. Well, he's at age, but you know, he could probably get away with centre half. You know,
he's
what I mean?
Quick enough,
and he reads the game enough well, and he's so experienced that I think he could quite easily operate as either side of a back three. To be honest,
it's a shame for Turner though, because he is technically one of the better players in the league.
Yeah, yeah, I think you know, on his day, I don't think there's many better than him in that position in the league. But like you say, there's no shifting that Doherty Bannigan combination for McCauley. So trusting on them. So
yeah.
And Turner's been scoring goals, assisting goals this season. Mm-hmm. Largely because he's a corner taker with the assist side ends. But quite surprising. Yeah, that was the only surprise. But problem for Turner now is, of course, that after such a convincing win at home and after that switch to two up front, he's going to be like, that's a bit frustrating. Like, but he's good enough, like, you know, they're not exactly going to be weakened by if they put him back in the team again.
It was the Inverness game kind of 3 games ago. They played Turner off the right, Cammy Smith in behind. They obviously got beat 3-1. Last weekend, they played Wraith, got beaten 3-2, and they went with the Turner, Doherty, Bannigan trio. And then, like you say, he takes a drop to the bench and they won 4-0. So it's disappointing, but good depth for Partick, and that's a good problem to have. Whereas here, still a lot of work for Duffy to do, and that kind of masked the issues here, I think, the last kind of defeat. He's kind of went with a kind of regimented 3-5-2, hasn't he? Great height at the back. McGinty, Baird and Fjortoft. Then Aaron Muirhead kind of anchored in the midfield, so four absolute monsters at set pieces.
They're going to have to kind of like just write that off here and plough on, because I don't know. I think they've been 4-4-2 often as well.
They have been, so, but then they changed it for the weekend. And I don't know if he maybe thought Partick would play 3 centre midfielders, so he's changed it to get 3 centre midfielders in there, and Partick have actually played 4-4-2.
And I don't know if that's maybe thrown them.
Potentially,
as well,
because he's shoehorned Chalmers back in. Chalmers hasn't been playing in the 4-4-2. It's been kind of the Boyle Connor off the left, Muirhead, Murdoch, Salkind off the right, and then 2 up top. So
it's possible with those kind of players, when you're talking about your McGinty's, Fjortos, Baird's, Muirhead, to adjust a shape is for these kind of more sort of bread and butter, I want to say basic players, but good at what they do. It's maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're as
less flexible, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. So that's maybe been quite a large factor. I'm quite surprised that Jim Duffy is staying from the sacred 4-4-2 as well. But it's maybe something, like I say, that they're going to have to go back and rethink and address and go back to basics. How was it working for them before when they were playing to their strengths? But you know, credit to Partick Thistle, I think they're going to do that this season. They're going to give teams a good tanking, but they might take the odd one as well, unless they can iron out their own kind of inconsistency issues.
And talking of 4-4-2, our both probably their best two players this season missing on Saturday, and Nubley and Nicky Lowe. Obviously, got that bad injury, didn't they, against Kelly? So they both missed Saturday, and a draw with Morton. Morton probably be delighted with that, wouldn't he?
Yeah. By the way, credit, hats off again to your transitions there.
Unplanned.
Seamless segues. But Nubly,
straight away,
big loss. He's kind of like the talk of the league, really. It was telling, but to be fair, Arbroath showing there's more to them than just an on-form striker by being able to, you know, slug that out and come away with a point. So, and you know, if
late, wasn't it 85, 86 minutes or something? The equalised,
yeah. And I think Dick Campbell would probably still insist. He likes to play Arbroath down, like when they're on form, especially. So, he'll probably tell you that a point away at Morton's a perfectly satisfactory result for Arbroath. When maybe privately they're looking to win that, to carry on. But I think, given the fact that Morton have taking the lead twice, and the way the game's gone, it's been a bit of a ding dong. I think, although Arbroath have looked more threatening on the whole, certainly had more attempts at goal. They're probably quite content with getting away with that. But yeah, we were debating Morton's shape before. I've not seen the highlights or anything, but it looked like they went with a back three.
I think a back three with Strap left of the three, Lithgow kind of sitting middle, and McEntee right, and then McGregor left midfield, Blues right, Jacobs and Oskin sitting with Oliver just off Ugwu and Riley. Oliver, Ugwu, Riley's a trio that should get you goals on paper.
Yeah.
Which was interesting, but just on strikers, I saw David Martindale did an interview, I think it was today or yesterday, saying that if Nubly keeps going, he's a 1,000,000% quote, making his way back to Livy in January. Says Dick Campbell's been phoning him saying, I'll no play for you, Davey, in the Premiership. But what he did say was if Nubly came back, then he'd try and help Arbroath out. So that means maybe Hamilton or they signed a guy, Harrison Penantia, who played with Nubly at Aldershot last season. He's in at Livy now, so you wonder maybe he'll go. So it sounds like it's kind of one in. Dick Campbell will drop him off and Martindale will just take Nubly out of the van and put somebody else in and get him back down the road. So yeah. If that relationship works for both, they'll be happy. But Campbell will be hoping for Hamilton, I'd imagine, just because they know what he's getting.
Yeah, and he'll lend himself to his style a wee bit more as well.
It's a beneficial relationship, that, isn't it?
Yeah, but the way Livy are going as well, you could see how much McIndale will be jumping at the bit to get Nubly back to continue to toil in the league as well. So it should work for both parties, that relationship they've got going.
Aye, I'll offer them something different, won't it? And Premiership defences maybe be a wee bit not nervous about playing against them, but like you say, he's building his reputation in that Championship, isn't he? So, you know, teams will maybe give him a bit more respect as opposed to him being like an unknown quantity that he might have been had he gone in 6 months ago. And so moving on into League One, Muzz, I was actually looking at your predictions before we came on. So just to run you through them in case you can't remember. So this is from last week's games. You predicted an Airdrie win. You predicted a Falkirk win. Predicted a Montrose Queen's Park draw. You did, however, predict Dumbarton and a draw in Alloa Cove. So taking Alloa Cove, after 25 seconds, chance of a draw was probably slim with Niang's red card. We've spoken about it before, about being good in the middle of the park, winning possession, high energy, but potentially too much energy early doors.
Yeah, my prediction looked back on again when Boyd equalised, but obviously having that extra man and the sort of quality Cove had. If there's one team you want to be like, or you don't want to be against a man down to, Cove's probably up there because of the kind of like, I mean,
Vigors and that Robertson, you'll just keep
Fivey, Fivey and Scully on the bench. Leighton McIntosh, who can make an impact, Mason on the bench. So, yeah, just obviously a rush of blood to the head with Niang. I didn't hear too many complaints from the Alloa camp either. Eh? So, aye, lesson learned on that one, I'd say.
Ferguson,
doesn't help.
Sorry, anyway.
Help Alloa's sort of current plight, though, obviously, because they're looking to, they'll see themselves as, you know, title contenders, and they're the kind of teams you want to be beating, especially at home. So you're really just like, the frustration is really just, you can only imagine, you know, 25 seconds and already languishing in sort of sixth, seventh place. So, aye.
I wouldn't have put them up to, looking at that now, third or fourth in the playoffs anyway. But it's a bad weekend. We spoke in the Championship bit there about it being not a bad weekend for Inverness to lose, given that Kelly lost and stuff, but for Alloa, not great, is it, with Airdrie winning, Falkirk eventually winning, and obviously Cove, who you'd say are being a rival, obviously beating them, so it was a bit of as bad a weekend as, and Queen's Park and Montrose both getting a point, so a bit as bad a weekend as Barry Ferguson could have predicted going in it.
Yeah, but I don't know, they would probably prefer the Queen's Park Montrose result. Dumbarton dropping 3 points. I mean, it could have been worse. Like, okay, Falkirk, Airdrie, obviously their opponents, Cove, yeah, getting the 3 points. But, you know, in terms of like Montrose being the next team above them, at least they've not pulled away. Dumbarton haven't pulled away any further. So they still remain 6 points off the top, you know, 3 points off third place. So yeah, they're still in the mix. You'd have to be so lucky in that league to get all the results to go in your favour, but not ideal, definitely.
I think Ian Murray got out a couple of weeks ago, we were speaking about, didn't he? He got an absolute perfect hand a couple of weeks ago, but big win for Cove. They'll be, Paul Hartley will be happy to go back to, obviously, Arlo as well and get a good win, but they're looking good. That front two just guarantees goals there. If you keep Megan's in quiet, McAllister scores.
Yeah, exactly. A real partnership they've kind of formed as well. So yeah, there's no much you can prepare for that. Just you have to prepare for like a really challenging game as a defender every week, you know. And they're going to Ace Fife, the sort of big conceders right now in that league next week. So they'll be licking their lips. I mean, away to Ace Fife and then Clyde at home the next day. So those two strikers will be just polishing their. Polishing the knives, I think, you know.
Somebody actually put in the comments in the last video, which reminds me, actually, if you do have any thoughts or questions or feedback, or if you've been in the games, do let us know in the comments on YouTube or on Twitter at Turnstiles There. I can't for the life of me remember. You'd said Cove were something like 3-1 or 4-1 to win it, to win the league, which he thought was good value. And it might not be wrong, you know. I we've commented back saying the only concern might be an injury to one of the front two, but if you lose one, if Elvin keeps scoring, it's maybe not a bad bet.
And if they're, with all the amount of midfielders they've got, quality ones at it, if they're forced to play five in midfield, it's not exactly.
It's probably a benefit.
It's just making room for another quality midfielder. So, I would say like their biggest danger would be any injuries to the defence, but because the defence remains the kind of.
What about Draper? Have we spoken about that? Going to Elgin?
Yeah. He needs game time because he doesn't look sharp.
No, but he's one that could have went in at centre-half, you think, maybe if needed.
Potentially, but he is very slow in the turn. But yeah, they've obviously deemed surplus to requirements.
We'll speak about Elgin back further down, but Gravotsi and Draper, if you'd said 12 months ago they'd both be playing for Elgin, nobody would have played for Jim, I don't think.
Aye, true.
But a great result for Cove. Another good win for Airdrie, and it looked obviously quite tight, 2-1, but I think over 60% possession, 20 shots, 10 on target, 11 corners. They should probably, their only criticism me and Murray might have is they should have scored more.
Yeah, that's the only thing. He said the first half was, I think, the best they've played in 3 years, Airdrie. So.
I saw Easton's assist as well, it was pretty tasty.
Aye, scandal that he's not in the SPFL team of the week because he just ran the show. But yeah, that would be the only thing that they should have scored more goals. And I think the team will be saying that, but they'll also be taking like massive confidence from that because it was a real dominant performance, a real doing.
How did they shape up, Muzz? Do you know? Because obviously I've seen McCabe started, Easton, McEnroyce came in, Frizzell, McGill, Smith. I can't see many centre-halves in there.
Aye, well, McCabe's been dropping in at centre-half.
Has he been playing there?
Quite a lot recently. Right. And I think he was there again on Saturday.
It.
Yeah,
looks it.
Because he's really good, like, you know, flexible, adaptable player, but can also play football out of defence as well. And he's got that eye for a killer ball from deep as well. So I think he's been trusted at the back, and it's been something like a more like a 4-4-2 kind of shape.
Yeah,
I think,
Watson at right back, Kerr next, Gallagher and
Gallagher and Smith, yeah, and McEnroy coming in and getting rave reviews as well for his first performance. That's a bit of a coup for Airdrie, I would say. I think he was on loan at Dunfermline last season, did well for them. So,
And Kudarasa and Agnew, the two subs that came on, not too shabby for replacements for Ian Murray. And for Clyde, David Goodwillie scores. I think that was about as much as we can kind of say about their performance. And they brought on, to kind of compare, they brought on Marago Gomez and Gregory Taddy.
I saw Taddy come on for East Fife and I was intrigued to see how he fared up. But he looked handy. He looked like, you know, he looked like he was doing the right thing for Clyde. He was like, I think they were 2-0 up at the time, and he was holding the ball up, and he was taking the ball into the corner and things like that. And he didn't look miles and miles off it. But he's obviously not got anywhere near 90 minutes in him yet. But they're hot and cold, Clyde. They toil a wee bit. I mean, Goodwillie rounded the keeper and tried to get a shot in just before half time, but he sort of slaffed it. And if he'd managed to angle that shot in, and Clyde going 2-1 up at half time, it could have been a really interesting second half. But so, like, he is obviously the difference. And if he kind of dictates what happens with Clyde. If he's missing, they're going to be toiling, and if he's scoring, they're always in with a shout. But they went 3-5-2 again, and just that midfield three for me, it just lacks a bit of everything. Cunningham, Splain, Kennedy, just a bit inexperienced, a bit not very physical, give the ball away a lot. So it wasn't a surprise to see them switch to 4-4-2, I think, coming out the second half, potentially, or maybe even early before, because that had been a successful switch against these Fife. But it was just too much. Airdrie were just too much for them, regardless, I think. Too much creative play from Airdrie. Yeah.
They're looking good in the final third. So I know you were at Falkirk East Fife. Aye, so 2-1 win for Falkirk. Looking at the stats and speaking to somebody else that had been there, has there ever been a more perfect example of a game of two halves?
It's quite a good example indeed. Falkirk were dire the first half, really. Couldn't string any passes together. Midfield two of Telford and Hetherington were, I think, far too deep and couldn't get the ball out up to the front players. And there was no real chemistry or link-up. But to be fair, East Fife put in a really...
You said Danny Denham was outstanding.
Yeah, they put in an absolute shift. Denham was outstanding. Belied his age. What is he? As a mid-30s myself.
I can only imagine. Watching.
I can only imagine the physical shape you have to be in to be able to get up and down the pitch like he did.
Was he playing wide?
Yeah, he was playing like almost a left wing back in a back five or back three, sort of left wing of a midfield five. But defensively he was sound, and getting up the other end, excellent. Assisted their goal really as well with his shot that was, you know, cut back for Kieran Miller. So
like you say, he's a good age now, and they're going to need the experience and the ability of players like him to dig themselves out of the situation they find themselves in, aren't they?
Yeah, they were really exactly likes of him. Kevin Smith, who I thought was excellent as well, but just he faded because just the fitness side of things, the kind of stamina.
Falkirk full time, of course.
The system they were playing relied on these kind of experienced guys, Higgins as well, to keep the shape, keep the discipline. And they really did try their best, these five. But Falkirk have just gone and thrown another striker on the second half, changed their shape as well to kind of like a 3-5-2, but it was almost like a 4 up front when they were in the ball attacking. And the big talking point for there is like Aidan Keane proving yet again, you know, the difference. And, you know, the big debate is now, like, why is he not starting? Michael Ruth up front in his own toiled a bit, but as soon as he had Keane up with him, he as well looked a different player. The link-up, you know, running in the channels, feeding off each other. He scored a really clinical finish himself, Ruth. So I can't see past them having to start them both up front next 2 weeks' time against Airdrie.
Do you think you will against Airdrie have the attacking intent to go to up?
Well, this is it. I mean, it's almost like his hands forced, and the fans are really getting on their back on Saturday. So it's whether he can withstand that. If he's got an idea that 4-2-3-1 is going to work and is his preferred formation, you're going to have to take a lot of flack.
They're at home as well. He might have chanced it away from home, but they're at home again, aren't they, against Airdrie?
Yeah. The only thing that might have bailed him out would be if he went still one up front but started Keane. But he does like Michael Roos, and to be fair to Roos, I think that's 2 goals in 3. So
he'll know him from Aberdeen, won't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Very interesting. Big game that, isn't it? Probably game of the week next 2 weekends time. The other team that's done you in, Peterhead or Dumbarton, one of them's done you in whatever way you want to look at it, but nobody saw that result coming, did they?
Aye. That's just like the Hamilton and Inverness result. It's just that's come out of nowhere as well. I think
one at half time as well.
Yeah, I think Dumbarton went and had their record win last week or something like that, and now they've just clocked up their record defeat. So
much the same starting 11 as well, but great result for Peterhead. We'd say, didn't we? They've been playing well, but maybe not getting their just rewards.
Yeah, exactly. I could see, like, you know, it's a bit of a cliche I've been using about Peterhead, but on their day they can beat anyone in the league. But wasn't quite expecting 5-0, 5 different goal scorers, just sort of total football. And there was no signs of that performance from, you know, coming form-wise as well. So it's difficult to explain that, but credit to them. Dumbarton's bubbles not only burst, but it's basically exploded. But, you know, they're going to have to now bounce back from that home to Queen's Park.
The last thing they want is this to just send them into free fall, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So you worry for them, but
they play Queen's Park next, and then Airdrie next too.
Yeah. So that's going to be a big test, and Queen's Park, you know, showing that again against Montrose on Sunday that they're not losing when they're not playing well. They're managing not to lose, which is a massive. Massive thing for them, but these draws that they're racking up are stopping them kind of breaking away from the packs, which is keeping it really tight at the top.
No one in 5 for Montrose.
Yeah. I think the additions of Ballantyne and Keatings are gonna see that change. I fancy Montrose to go. They're a kind of team that I think they're like the going runs. There's a few teams like them. Airdrie is to an extent as well. But I think one of those teams that go and runs, and they're on a bad run right now. But I've just got this feeling that they won't go away. They'll be back up there. Good opportunity away to Clyde. Despite Clyde getting a good result up there, good opportunity for them. They've got Clyde's 5 back to back as well, like the opposite kind of way that Clove have. So good opportunity for them. No offense to East Fife and Clyde, but they'll be looking at a 6-pointer there.
They took 10 points from the first possible 12. They've then taken 3 from a possible 15. But you'd argue they'd strengthened between then. You'd argue their squads. I know Ballantyne's only played 1 game. Keaton's maybe got 3. But it's a season of 2 halves so far for them, isn't it? They're now in a position where they need to decide which way the season's going to go. I'm not as convinced by you that they'll hang around and kind of bother in that top 4. I'm not as convinced as you. I think they might end up just kind of bobbing in that 6th to 8th type area. But like you said, two winnable matches next, which will be interesting. Well, 3 arguably, because it's Peterhead after East Fife, isn't it? So, but they then go in and they play Cove, Alloa, Falkirk and Airdrie kind of back to back. So the next 3 games will be massive, massive for them.
Yeah, that might give us a better indication of where they are going to, because it's hard for a club of that stature to be around for seasons upon seasons, and that the recent seasons is why I just don't like doubting them. And I just do think they are going to come back up there, but it's one of those clubs that, like, once the players that they have move on, you know,
I can't still believe they got Ballantyne back, to be fair to them. Apparently he started slow on Sunday, but he kind of came on a game as it went, which kind of natural given he's not played that much.
It wouldn't overly surprise me to see like some Mochry go back there as well.
Not really playing, is it? Yeah.
If they've got that kind of pulling power and
it's a good point actually. So that's League One. Moving then into League Two. I'm just trying to get your predictions. Here we've got them. So you predicted Stirling victory, which came in. Kelty victory, which came in. Stranraer victory, which came in. Two let you down again. Edinburgh City Cowden, and then 4 away at Stenny. So looking at it, we'll take it in chronological order. Edinburgh City won with Cowden. Cowden a late equaliser, 83, I think. I tweeted, good point for Cowden, two dropped for Edinburgh, do you think?
Yeah, if you, really the only way you can look at that.
Cowden more enough, shots, though, more possession, more corners, though, but yeah, two dropped for Edinburgh looking at the game as a whole, but maybe as the game panned out, it's a decent point, if that makes sense.
Exactly. Cowden racking up 14 shots to Edinburgh 6 does suggest that it was almost a hanging on job for Edinburgh. And at the same time, Cowden will be delighted that their efforts have been rewarded with something anyway. It just sort of looked like two 4-4-2s going head-to-head, but still with slightly different styles. Cowden, we know, we've talked about the Gary Bowen style to death. And Edinburgh have always been a bit more, even under Naismith, they've been still a bit more of a versatile side, you know, that can go long if they need to. They've previously had, you know, a target man in Henderson, and now they've got Uzi C, or still have Uzi C as that kind of aerial target. But guys that will run channels like Robertson and Handling.
He'll be pulling his hair out, won't he? Because 10 of the starting 11 played in the 3-1 win against Dannon. The one change is Dave Mackay's come in, who's a good signing on loan from Dave. Yeah. So if anything, they've strengthened and they're producing that result, he'll bang his head off the wall, won't he?
Aye.
They need to be winning that if they want to be challenging for the title, which maybe is unrealistic given Celtic are in there and they're 9 ahead, well, 9 now, but even for playoffs, they've got to be winning your home games, don't they?
Yeah, given the form they've been on as well, it's just, there's a lot of teams this week hitting wee bumps in the road. They need to close these games, need to finish teams off like that, you know, if they want to be challenging, exactly. And I think they'll definitely see themselves as promotion contenders, without a doubt.
And talking of teams that
the players they've lost, but
I'm talking to teams that'll be kicking themselves. Sean Crichton scores in the 91st minute to deny Forfar, who we spoke about last week, probably should be going there and winning. But we'd also said last week, why is Crichton not been playing? And he comes back and he obviously scores equal either.
Yeah, exactly. It's more 2-point loss for Forfar because they're exactly in exactly the same position.
You could just copy and paste what you said about Edinburgh City, but replace it with Forfar.
Yeah, I really need to say no more. But full bench for Forfar still, I think White's the only real omission there.
It's surprising that, you know, Archie Thomas didn't come on Doris. I know Stenny scored late, so it's probably too late to throw another attacking player on. But you just hope it's not an injury that Andy Munro went off of. Although it was 95th minute, which is a strange one, eh?
Aye. Don't know about that. Because he was on a yellow, but like you say as well, 95th minute, you don't exactly take somebody off to just in case they get a red, unless he's gone. He's absolutely fizzing at something and Herman's just whipped him off. I don't know. You could say a good point for Stenny as well, just based on form.
Especially with Cowden they were actually bottom when that game kicked off, weren't they? Because Cowden would have nicked ahead of them based on them getting a point on the Friday night.
Yeah, exactly. But starting the season, you're saying that's a game Stenny would be looking to win. But just the way they've been going at it's probably a solid point to something to build on.
He looks to have just made the one change between the Forfar game and obviously the loss the week before Elgin at home. We'd said he needed that settled team, so he's obviously just went and kind of done that and it's paid dividends, but they'll still be disappointed, Stenny. They actually play Cowden next, which will be very interesting to see your predictions for that next week. They go to the next two are Cowden and Albion Rovers.
Yeah, I mean, we will maybe talk about the predictions more next episode. But
you could be
already got an idea what I would be predicting for that.
Looking at them knocking the door of the playoffs, so you could be looking at them marooned. That's what makes everybody so good.
Yeah, exactly.
And I remember you said actually last week. You thought Stranraer might be worth a nibble at home, Albion Rovers, because you thought they might be a good price. They duly did their... I'm not going to ask you if you had a wee bet on it, but they've kept their end of the bargain, Stranraer, for anyone that did.
Yeah, I just had a hunch there. I feel that Albion are in a wee bit of free fall.
Yeah.
And I feel that Stranraer's recent performances have suggested that they are kind of like getting themselves a bit more organised, a bit more resilient, and the system Hamill is trying to play is kind of embedding itself a wee bit. Broke Watson's quite an interesting signing from Cove. Gives him a bit of like flair, a bit of creativity. He was always the guy for me that looked like a squad player at Cove, given the freedom to kind of like establish himself at Stranraer is probably a really, really good move for him. So they needed additions, and they had quite a big bench. On the bench, yeah, Josh Walker. So they're looking a bit more, you know, a bit more stacked. Ngoy as well.
Yeah.
Get off the bench, they're number nine, but so they've got another striking option there. So yeah, Albion Rovers. Starting trialists at this stage of the season. Although they had plenty of players on the bench as well. We don't know who the trialist was, but
Somebody actually asked that in the comments last week, but I'm not sure to be honest.
They need to kind of address this lump themselves. One win, four losses out of the last five. And like you say, Steny in a couple of weeks is a massive game. Mm-hmm. Home to Elgin. You know, tough games coming up for Albion. So this is like a testing time of the season going into Christmas.
Aye, absolutely. And talking to Elgin, Stone Albion went up there and did the business. Pretty convincingly, I think. Not in terms of possession, but I don't think they were ever in any danger of losing the game. Got their goals at perfect times, 45 plus 3 and then 86.
Yeah, absolutely. Really did a proper good job in Elgin there. Obviously done the homework, and another goal from McNiff, who, you know, I'm not afraid to say that I was questioning the signing of McNiff, although he was coming from a league above. But he's really kind of like gone in there and done excellent.
All of this without the likes of Ray Grant starting, Carrick starting, Banner starting, Rabin, Omar starting. I quite like the balance.
I wonder if they've looked for a bit more dig in the midfield there.
Legs with Roberts, isn't it?
Up at Elgin, yeah. Yeah, Roberts is digging a bit, ability to drive forward with the ball as well. You know, going in against the Dingwalls and McEwen, Cameron, just wanted that.
Bit
more kind of a physical aspect to the game, and whatever they've done, Albion, they've kind of pulled it off to perfection. It's a really solid 2-0 win.
But what an asset Mackin is if he's fit and playing it.
Aye, absolutely. Yeah.
Coming into this time of the year as well.
Yeah.
Somebody will look after the ball for you up there.
Just to dig their heels in and hold up. Yeah, we talked about that last week, and the players like
BK and Flanagan
running off.
They'll be loving playing off them, won't they?
Carrick sort of in behind them there as well. So Kyle Banner is one that I've noticed that has been not seeing much game time recently, or not starting a lot, and that's meant to, you know, how well that defence must be doing and midfield, because he was one a couple of years ago that I thought was a real promising up-and-coming player.
Yeah, and maybe do him a wee favour to take him out the firing line for a spell, because he's played a lot, hasn't he?
Yeah, he was given a lot of games at a young age, so good. Another just good player for Stirling Albion to have, obviously in the squad, but I wonder if now he'll be...
The visual of Dylan Mackin, similar to Stephen Dorris a couple of years ago, where he had looked like 4-inch studs, and he would just dig them into the ground, just hold defenders off and just take the ball in. Like, perfect.
Aye.
No, they're looking good.
Great like asset to have away at Clifton Hill in the January months.
And they're staying on Kelly's coattails, aren't they? 4 wins out of 5, you know, they're doing what they need to be doing. Only conceded 9 goals in 9, which is decent. Probably, I think it's the second or third best in the league. Only Kelly and Forfar conceded less, but second top scorers as well. You know, you feel for them a bit because last year, Queens, although they didn't get playoffs, they were up there early doors, weren't they, at Queen's Park in the league. And then this year, Kelty just look, oh, they're just doing enough. We spoke about it last week, aren't we? They're doing enough to see them over the line. You know, 1-0 against Stranraer. There's a 2-1 now against Annan.
Yeah, I remember us saying that last time where they're sometimes they are grinding it out, which is a sign of, you know, that they're not just taking the league for granted as well. You know, they'll be confident with the squad they've got, but they've been able to dig results out. But having said that, Annan, I think, were lucky to clock a goal in this game. They only had a couple of shots on target, and Kelty pummeled them, you know, 16 shots. So
I don't know if it's, you know, it's an injury, but he's rotating, isn't he? Because Cardo came off the bench.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think he can afford to be fair. Especially at home to Annan. But Austin, I think, was Austin not on the bench last week? And he brought him on. No,
I think it was a couple of weeks ago, but I know what you're saying. He does mix and match, doesn't he? But like you say, if you've got the players to do it. Boy, Finlayson just came in on loan from St. Martin. He went in at right back, didn't he? So, changing. Yeah, yeah. Biabi on the bench, but Hooper, Peggy, Black. You go, not Peggy Black, Peggy and Black. Got options.
You're looking at, as well, you're looking at their, going back to Stirling Albion briefly, they play Kelty in a couple of weeks, but you're looking, Kelty are away to Edinburgh, then they're home to Stirling, then they're away to Cowdenbeath. You're quite tricky. I wonder if, looking at Stirling Albion, they are home to Stranraer, which they want to win. They are away to Kelty, then they're home to Stenny, and then they are away at Albion Rovers. So I don't know if, even if Stirling, it's a massive game away to Kelty, obviously, but even if Kelty beat them, Stirling could still be looking at 9 points out of 12 there. Mm-hmm. So they can almost afford to get beaten by Kelty again, just stay in the mix, and then looking at, you know, you're hoping that Kelty maybe drop points against other teams as well. Maybe away to Edinburgh could be a sticky one. Yeah. Even Stirling, away to Cowdenbeath.
It's going to be interesting, that Stirling team, isn't it? Because we know Bill Orr and Kevin Bukovic do a lot of opposition analysis, to look at the data, to look at the stats. Will they go to Kelty and just do what they've been doing in terms of that kind of same 11 attacking players? It's going to be really interesting to see the team they put out. You know, do they go there?
Yeah.
Play for a draw after 60 minutes, and then if it's a draw, they go and try and win it. Do they go there and try and get the result and win? Do they go attacking, which maybe Kelty won't have faced this season? Teams going there and having a right go. So, Bill, if you're watching, drops a DM. Well, that's not. I'd be very interested actually to see how they approach it.
Yeah, definitely. Not having seen Kelty Hearts at all myself, I couldn't comment, but you would think, looking at the form and the players they've got, they will have every right to set up as they have been going, because they're obviously a lot to handle right now. And looking at goals for and against, they're keeping the back door shut quite well and scoring a lot of goals. Second highest in the league, only 2 Kelty. So, I think they're more than enough good shape to just go toe-to-toe with Kelty and really fancy their chances. Yeah, crack.
So there we go. That rounds up the fixtures from the weekend just there. As always, like I say, if you could like the video, subscribe to the channel, that will help us massively. We'll be back next week just to preview the games coming up. And as we spoke about, there's some tasty-looking fixtures that I'm interested to get the guys' predictions on. Thank you very much for watching. See you next week. And come on to Scotland.
Ditto.